Who is Jesus? I think that's a question worthy of some study this morning. Who is Jesus? Jesus is the preeminent one. He is above all, before all, and head of all. He is the creating one. He is the transforming one. He is the redeeming one. He is our peacemaker through the blood of the cross. He reconciles sinful man with the sinless God. He's head of the body, the church. Friend, Jesus is the one who has preeminence or first place in everything. The question is, does he have first place in your life? Please open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1, and we're going to look at the text from there this morning before we get into the lesson. Again, it's good to see everyone that's out. It's good to have visitors with us this morning. We need to be mindful of those that are unable to be out today and see what we can do to help them. So let's look Colossians chapter 1, and we'll begin by reading verses 13 through 20. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him all the fullness should dwell, and by Him to reconcile all things to Himself by Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His Christ. As we go through this passage this morning, notice how many times it refers to He, to Him, to Christ Himself that has done all of these things. And also notice how many times all is mentioned. But He has delivered us. He is the one. That implies or proves a couple different things. He has delivered us. Jesus didn't have somebody else do the delivering. He didn't have an angel deliver us. He didn't have some created being deliver us. He Himself delivered us. The other thing that I get as soon as I start looking at this, He Himself did it, and He has delivered us. We are not able to deliver ourselves. We cannot escape from the power of darkness and sin without Christ. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. As God is light, darkness is of the evil one. The rule of the evil one. We cannot escape without Christ. We need to have Him to help deliver us. He has delivered us from the power of darkness, from the service or the dominion of the devil. And with that, He could have delivered us and then just said, that's it. Okay, you're no longer under the reign of Satan. But He delivered us, He didn't stop there, and conveyed us into His kingdom. He adopted us. He made us children. We are citizens in His kingdom. His kingdom, that's the church. The kingdom, that talks about His government, His rule. He's the king. We are His subjects. We have a law. There's a territory. It's universal. So He just did not deliver us out or from, but He delivered us into. And when you look at this, if he has delivered us into the kingdom, we are in the kingdom now. We don't need to wait for thousands of years or for somebody to tell us that the kingdom is coming. We are in the kingdom now. Jesus carried us across that line that separates the power of darkness from the kingdom of light. And as Christians, we should no longer live in that power of darkness. We're going to be a slave. Everyone here is a slave. And we can be a slave of either two masters. We are either a slave of Satan or we are a slave of Christ. Which one are we? It's the one that we choose to serve. So he has delivered us from the power of darkness, conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood. The forgiveness of sins, to redeem, redemption. We don't use that word too much today. Years ago, I remember my folks and grandparents would have stamps and they'd fill these stamp books and take them in and redeem them for something. The idea that is a bigger than that, when we talk about redemption, it's a ransom paid to redeem or buy back someone or something. You see, on the movie sometimes, somebody will be kidnapped. And there is a ransom. They are held for ransom. When that ransom is paid, what happens? They are set free. There's been some pretty good movies about that. They're kind of exciting. We get excited about that on a movie. But friends, we have been redeemed. We have been set free from the power of darkness. Who did that for us? Jesus. Jesus redeemed us. Sin captivates us. Satan captures us. Christ redeems us and sets us free. He paid the debt that we could not pay. He paid the ransom. Jesus, with his own blood, paid the redemption and delivered those who would accept it, so we could be brought out from the bondage of sins, the forgiveness of sins. We were brought out from the bondage of the evil one. We have the forgiveness, the deliverance of sin. We have redemption. This is another reason why he is the preeminent one. He should be the priority, the center of our life. Again, we could not save ourselves. We could not escape. He delivered us. He paid the ransom, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Again, he didn't have someone else pay the price. And why was it blood that had to be paid? Because God said back in the book of Leviticus that it was blood that would atone for sins. That was the only payment that God would accept. That was the idea he was getting through to the people with the sacrifices. There had to be the shedding of this blood to cover the sins. It had to be the shedding of a perfect animal without spot or blemish. Well, when it comes to our soul, again, the blood of bulls and goats couldn't take away any sin. It had to be the blood of a perfect, sinless sacrifice without blemish. I couldn't be that. You couldn't be that. The only one that could be that was Christ. He did that for us. Did we deserve to have that done? We didn't deserve it at all. We were his enemies. Verse 15, he, Christ, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. If we want to know what God is like, all we would have to do is look at the Son. Jesus said to Philip in John 14:9, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. The word image here is a little different than what we would think of it today. He is the image of the invisible God. He's not just a likeness. He is the exact representation of God in every way. He is the firstborn over all creation. Jesus is the image and glory of God. 1 Corinthians 11:7. Jesus is the idea and expression of God. God is invisible to man, even as we learn when Moses asked to see God. And he said, he told Moses, "I'll put you here, I'll hide you in this rock, and when I pass by, you'll be able to see the hind parts of me." And then with that, with what Moses, the little that he was able to see, his face shone so much, he had to cover his head. God is light. God dwells in the light unapproachable, whom no one has seen or can see. 1 Timothy 6:16. But we see God in Christ. John 14:9. God is like Christ. In the face of Jesus Christ, God has given the light of the knowledge of his glory. If we want to know what God is like, we look at Jesus. And again, that's easy to understand. We want to know what some man looks like. We look at that man's son. We see his reflection in his son. 2 Corinthians 4:6, Paul says, "For it is the God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness." You think back in Genesis 1, what did God say? "Let there be light," and there was light. He commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Who has shown in our hearts to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ? God, not only when he said, "Let there be light," illuminated this earth, illuminated the universe. He illuminated us with the knowledge of him. Verse 7, "We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us." So Paul is saying in 2 Corinthians 4, 6, and 7, God commanded the light to shine into darkness. It shone in our hearts to give us light of the knowledge, this glory of God. And then we have that knowledge in this treasure in earthen vessels, in men. We have it with his word, and we take this word and we share it with others. He's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. So the firstborn, we think of that oftentimes in different ways. This firstborn, in respect to all creation, it shows a relationship of priority. He is the firstborn over all creation. Again, it shows his supremacy, his preeminence. This is not like some denominations would say, that Jesus is a created being. He is not, God did not create him. He is firstborn over all creation. He is firstborn. He holds all supremacy, all preeminence over all creation. From this, the thought passes on to the distinction from and a priority to all things being created. God, in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, "God hath at the end of these days spoken unto us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds." Again, you see the place that Jesus holds. He created the worlds. We see he sustains them. He has his place of preeminence. And God says, at the end of these days, spoken unto us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds. Jesus is speaking to us. We need to listen to Him. We need to listen to Him and ignore what anybody else says. You stop and think about this. I find it amusing, but it's really sad. You talk to people through the weeks, and they'll talk about something they heard on TV, something they saw on the internet, something they heard on the radio, and, well, so-and-so said this. And it, whatever it may be, they believe. They believe just because this person said it. They don't question it. They don't ask for any evidence. They believe it. Whatever it is you want to make up, ABC, XYZ, they hear it, they believe it. You turn and you read something from God, I don't know about that. I don't know. I doubt if He's going to be able to do that. Friends, where's our faith? God speaks, Christ speaks. He is the preeminent one, the supreme one. We should not doubt what He says. When we think about Christ, going back to Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting, Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His government and of the peace, where shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon His kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from henceforth, even forever, the zeal of Jehovah of hosts will perform this." You look at the names for Christ: Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So Jesus is declared to be Emmanuel, God with us, and His kingdom is a visible manifestation of God. So the thought contained in this word firstborn is not only sovereignty, but He is the highest of kings of the earth. Psalm 89:27. Also, in likeness to God and priority to all created beings. This shows His preeminence. Jesus was not a created person, a created thing. He is firstborn. It shows His place of preeminence. He goes on to explain this in verse 16, "For by Him," by Jesus, He wasn't created. He created all things. All things were created. What things? All things that are in heaven and that are on earth. And He doesn't leave it there. He goes on to make another distinction from there: visible and invisible. And He doesn't stop there. Whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him. Everything. Christ created everything and everything for Him. You just think about the earth. What does that include? It would include the animals, the plants, the minerals, the waters. Everything that is in the earth, that is in this world, was created for Him and by Him. The invisible things, the thrones, dominions, the principalities, everything, that all the laws and principles that keep this world going, He created them, and Satan and man has perverted them. But when you look at this, everything depends on Jesus. You think about that in the world. Everything. He created everything. He sustains everything. Do we think that we can destroy what God has created, this world, this universe? We're going to do something. We're going to change this acre of this land here, and it's going to destroy everything that God created when He just spoke it into existence? Do we recognize how supreme He is, how much power He has? Well, again, I have to ask myself, do I recognize that in my life? Or do I say, yeah, you're the supreme one, but I want to do this. I don't want to do what you want me to do, even though you have every right to be the supreme one. All things have been created through him. And again, all things, it's repeated throughout this short section of verses. All things were created. All things were created through him and for him. He is the medium. He is the tool. He is the power. He is the energy that has created everything and sustains everything. He is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. All things come from him and through him and belong to him. When we've been talking about money on Sunday evenings and stewardship, and we recognize that everything belongs to God. So when we think about this, everything belongs to him, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. John 8:58, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was born, I am. Christ has always existed. He is before all things. And in him all things exist. When you look at this in verse 17, basically you have two groups. You have Christ, and then you have everything else that's created. If he created all things, and all things were created through him and for him, you have Christ, and then you have everything that's created. In him, all things stand together as united. Again, he holds everything together. And with that, that leads us to think of a head that holds everything together. Our head hopefully holds our body together. You look at a company, there's a head that holds the company together. You look at a nation, a government, there's a head of a government that holds that government together. Verse 18, he is the head of the body. What's the body? The church. He's the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. So he's the head. When we talk about false doctrine in the New Testament, and we've looked at the Judaizing teachers and the Gnostics and some other groups, when Paul wrote to the Colossians, one of the false ideas that people had was the worship of angels. And they saw angels as something to be worshipped. Angels are not to be worshipped. The only one that's worthy of worship is God, is Christ. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. In all things, he may have the preeminence. He may have it. No one else has it. Ephesians 1:22-23, and he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. So when we think about this, everyone who belongs to Christ, if you belong to Christ, you belong to the church. And to be out of the church is to be out of Christ. You can't be out of the church and say you're in Christ. You can't be in Christ and say you're out of the church. You can't separate the two. Some people try to do that. They say, oh, I believe in Jesus, but I don't have any use for the church. Friends, you can't say that. That's not a reality. He's the head of the body, the church. He holds us together as we're connected to the head. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. Again, this firstborn, as we looked at earlier, it shows a place of preeminence. Was he the first person to be raised from the dead? No, there were many others that were raised before the dead, before Christ. And again, that was to show the power of God. But what does this firstborn from the dead mean? He was the firstborn from the dead, never to die again. That shows the, not only shows the power of God, it shows the power of the resurrection, and it shows to us the power of God and the resurrection in our life. Because he lives, we can live. When he was resurrected, that shows that we will be resurrected. That in all things he may have the preeminence. The preeminence. Again, no one is like Jesus. And when we think about this resurrection, in some places it's referred to as a birth. And sometimes we read in the New Testament about being born of the water and of the Spirit. So being born of the water and the Spirit and the resurrection, these are all talking about figurative births, a figurative birth. What is a birth? It's the beginning of a new life and a separate existence. A new life. When a child is born of its mother, it is the beginning of a new and separate life. Birth does not give life. It introduces it into a new state. When a man passes out of the state of sin and into the life of Jesus Christ, the beginning of this new life is called what? It's called a birth. We must be born again. When he's raised from the dead and begins a new and separate life in eternity, it's called a grave from the birth. Or I'm sorry, it's called a birth from the grave. We are born, we are raised, we are resurrected. Christ was resurrected, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Who else did that? Nobody else did that. There is no one like Jesus. That's why he demands, he deserves, he demands to be preeminent in our life. He's preeminent. He has supremacy in everything. Everything. We belong to him. We should act that way. We should show that. Verse 19, for it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself by him, whether the things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Again, this peace, what's this peace talking about? When we are reconciled, we were enemies. We were enemies with God because we sinned. We broke his law. We had to be made whole. We had to be made right. Christ not only redeemed us, he not only paid the ransom, he reconciled all things to himself by him, the things on earth and heaven, having made peace. And again, how did he do this? By the cross, through the blood of his cross. Because of that, he has all authority. Jesus said in Matthew 28:18, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. John said in John 1:14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Colossians 2:9, Paul says, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And from these passages, we can see that God committed all authority to his Son, Jesus Christ, in redemption, salvation, in every aspect of our life. When I think about what I should do or what I should be, should I go ask somebody? I should check and see what Jesus wants me to do, what Jesus wants me to be. Who is Jesus? Jesus is the preeminent one. He's above all, before all, and head of all. He is the creating one. He created everything. He's the transforming one. He transformed us out of the power of darkness into the kingdom of light. He's the redeeming one. He paid the ransom. He set us free. He's the only one that had that ransom price that could be paid. His blood. He's our peacemaker through the blood of the cross. He reconciles sinful man with the sinless God. He's the head of the body, the church. Friends, Jesus is the one who has preeminence, first place in everything. Does he have preeminence in your life? If he doesn't have that place in your life, you need to repent of how you've been living. If you haven't submitted to his position, not only do you need to repent, you need to confess Christ as Savior, be buried with him in baptism, and have that new birth so that you can start living a new life. Friends, Jesus has done all of this for us. He's waiting for us to submit to him and obey him. If you need to respond this morning, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.